Thank goodness we have a great visual to kind of talk about canoeing and marriage. When we talk about mysteries, yeah, canoeing is a mystery to us. My wife and I, we started canoeing. We've been on some canoe trips now, like six or seven, maybe five, four, something like that. We're getting better at it. At those first few canoe trips, and my daughter Presley would tell you, there were some words in the canoe. If you want to test your communication skills as a couple, my challenge to you would be go out, go to the tech wreck, rent a canoe, and just take off on some random lake and just see how it goes. Y'all try to get to a destination together and just see how well you do communicating in a canoe. It'll be a good test for you. I have a feeling it won't go as well as you think it might. So this year, my wife and I get in our canoe. We're at our little family camp, the family camp we go to is kind of our vacation for our family, and it's just a great time of discipleship for my kids. If you're interested in that camp, by the way, Shannon or Melanie Morrison or the McCarthys could talk to you a little bit about that. We're trying to take a bigger group. We go over the weekend of 4th of July, and so, man, we'd love for you to come with us. Just a great time of discipleship for families, and it's basically a resort run by college kids, so it kind of feels like a camp. Anyway, we get to this camp, and they drop us off about 6 miles from the camp, and we're supposed to canoe back to the camp. Well, my wife and I, this ain't our first rodeo. We get in the canoe and get our kids lined out. The kids obviously don't have paddles, and because mainly they just throw them in the water, and we lose those. And so we take off on the canoe, and I start to notice some things. I start to notice that I'm sizing up the competition. So in my mind, there's a race here, and the other families aren't there to race. There's one family there to race, but none besides us and another family. And there are about 12, 13 families out in the water, and I begin to size up the competition, and I think in my head, this year is our year. We're going to be the first to get back to our destination. And so I decide this year we're going to do it, and we took off, and it is a seamless canoe trip. We are flying across the water. And my kids are even making comments like, y'all are getting along so well this year. But we weren't talking. That was a lot of it. We weren't talking at all. I was paddling, and if my wife would stop for a drink, I'd say, here, I'll hand you a drink. You just keep paddling. Keep paddling. And so we get back, and I'm preparing for the sermon, and I was talking to her a couple of weeks ago and saying, man, I just got the best analogy about marriage, and I'm so excited about that. And just on our canoe trip, she said, what about our canoe trip? And I said, well, just how wonderful it was. I mean, this was the best communication we've had our entire married life. And she said, we didn't communicate. And then she begins to tell me that really I didn't enjoy our canoe trip very much at all. That we didn't stop and look at things. We didn't talk at all. And I said, we did talk. I told you to keep paddling and paddle on the left. And that family is getting close. We got to go and things like that. But we won. And so who cares that we didn't communicate? We did win. So I've got some things still to work on in my marriage, I guess, because I guess there's supposed to be some fun on the way, but to me, it's just competition. Well, so again, canoeing is a little bit of a mystery then in West Texas. We don't know a lot about it, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I want to compare it and make an analogy today. Oh, by the way, this is my family as we canoe. This is our little canoe that we're on here. Maybe. There it is. Okay. So there's our little family canoe trip this year. And so there we are again, the kids in the middle. We ditched the four-year-old because I'm not taking on that dead weight for the race. Don't worry, someone in one of the canoes behind us picked her up, okay? They got her. She just wasn't pulling her weight in there. But so there's our little family canoeing. In Ephesians 5, Paul talks about a mystery, and it's a mystery of marriage. He says in Ephesians 5:31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, and most of you that are married understand that there are still some pretty mysterious parts, right? But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. We're going to talk more about that passage. But I want you to pay special attention to this 5:31. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. So what's he talking about when he's talking about a husband and a wife? What did he say he's talking about? Christ and the church. So should we be concerned about our marriages as believers? Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. In fact, Gary Thomas in the book Sacred Marriage says that your marriage is a word picture of God's love to his people. So what goes on in your marriage is a picture of what the gospel looks like in a human relationship and how Christ feels about us. So I hope that you kind of carry that thought with you as we talk a little bit more about marriage today. So I kind of took a risk on Facebook earlier this week. On Monday or so, I posted the married life is fill in the blank, one word. And I got some very interesting comments. First of all, we have a problem with limiting ourselves to one word. Many of you do. And that was frustrating for me. I had grown men messaging me real poetic things, and it just felt icky. And so I would get those and just delete them. So if it was more than about three or four words, I pretty much deleted it. But it was also funny because I had some really great comments about marriage. I was thinking to myself, how would be the best way to kind of share with our church family? Well, first of all, you go to my Facebook page and look at all those comments that people made. But I thought, I'll just write a song that has all those comments in it. So the only part of this song that I actually wrote was the very first line. It just says, the married life is. And then I allowed our church body at the Heights to fill in the blank. I got over 60 of your comments in this song, so we'll see how this goes. May not go very well at all. Some of you, if you realize that it's your spouse that wrote that comment, it may not go well at all for you. Now, I feel like we probably ought to sing it in a canoe. You know, I mean, that makes sense to me. So we'll actually do it in the canoe here. And it was more of a ukulele song than a guitar song. It just didn't have the guitar feel. So this is kind of my dream, to get to play ukulele in the canoe. Hopefully it won't fall off the stage, because that would be some of your dream. Here we go. All right. I've done that before. It's not my first rodeo. You saw how seamless I was about that. Okay. Get this all adjusted here. Now, I do want to let you know that the views expressed in this song are not necessarily those of the Heights Fellowship or the performer. Just reporting here. I'm just reporting. This is awkward. Oh, the married life is friendship. It's incredible if both people put in 100% every day. From Tammy Kitten. But it depends on the day. And today I would say that it's work, 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 work. It's an action, it's a verb. Work was actually the number one winner, by the way. Five works appeared on those Facebook comments. So you'll notice I try to reflect the number of times each word was used throughout there. That one got five. Work was our big one. It's adaptation. It's ever changing. It's worth working through the hard times. Sacrifice and compromise, compromise, compromise. It's an adventure times four, that's for sure. Oh wait, there's more. Makes me complete, whole from head to feet. It's a sinking canoe, sanctifying times two. Oh, it's so much fun. Like the ultimate marathon, and so much fun. It requires tenacity. Well, then it might not be for me. Cause it's work, 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 work. It's an action, it's a verb. You know, some days are brutal. Is this a real comment? The next one's worse. You know, some days are hell. But don't worry, it will last forever. Like a journey that just won't end. And if you're single, it may be just around the bend. Revealing, it's the gifts and the giving. It's cheated when you're selfish, rewarded by forgiving. It's comfort, commitment, it's awesomely fulfilling. It's respectfully real.
It's a roller coaster, comical. It's something diabolical. It's four times a blessing. I just can't help confessing. It's a challenge, persevering. Thank God we're finally nearing the end of this song. God's divine plan to live. It's like a box of chocolates full of laxatives.
A real comment, folks.
And oh, if you haven't heard, it can't be described with just one word.
Unless that word would be
work, 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 work. 'Cause it's an action, it's a verb. It's a work, 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 work.
Right, Tammy?
It's action. It's a verb.
Yeah. And so there was also one real tacky couple, actually a member of the band, her husband, that got going back and forth. And they were actually just sending back and... I'm just saying. They actually were sending song lyrics back and forth as their answers. And they actually wrote a song, but it was a song by Poison. And so I couldn't actually put it into this song, so I thought I'd do it separate.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Though we're close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did the words not come out right? Though I try not to hurt you, though I try. Well, I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn.
Come on now, you know this one.
Just like every night has its dawn.
Get out your cell phones, light them up.
Just like it.
Don't light them up. Those were two different thoughts, okay? We're modern here. We're not there yet. All right, let me just call that one good, okay? Wow. There were some people rolling. There were some people rolling. So when we talk about the married life, it's important to understand what the married life is. When you're canoeing, you want to understand what is your destination first. So what's our destination? Well, you know, a couple of ways we can figure out what our destination is life. To me, the believing marriage has a destination. First of all, to be that word picture. A word picture that lets the world know how Christ feels about his people. So to glorify God and please God should be your primary destination as a marriage. The second thing, I believe that your marriage should be full of lots of life. Why would I say that? Well, in John 10:10, I almost always quote John 10:10 when I preach because I feel like it's just one of those things that we can say all day long, but we never really believe. The idea that the thief has come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But the shepherd has come to do what? Give us life and give it to the full. Oh, that we would grasp that truth. That he's not pulling a trick on us. That really his plan is for us to have more life and have it to the full. If we could just grasp that. Did you know that he wants that in your marriage too? He wants your marriage full of life. I'm fully aware that some of you, when I say that, are like, you don't know my partner. And you don't know my marriage. I wonder how much you laugh in your marriage. I wonder how much laughter is there. Your partner is funny. They're weird. And just look at them. Just look right at them. And I want you to think about a time when they did something recently just real embarrassing. And you might have got an argument about it, but you just kind of felt, a normal person, you just laughed at it and said to yourself, that is just weird. Just look at them. Just for a minute, just laugh at your partner. Just go ahead and just force it. And some of you, I'm laughing at your partner. They're weird looking. So I hope that your marriage is full of laughter and life. Did you know that's God's plan for your marriage? Yes, there are challenging times, and yes, sometimes those times outweigh the times of laughter, but I hope that you haven't lost your laughter, and I hope you haven't lost your life. That should be one of the destinations in your little marital canoe, is headed toward life, headed toward laughter, and headed toward pleasing God. Now let's talk a little bit about some other just truths about canoeing. Well, first thing about this is you need to go with the current when you're canoeing. Anybody ever tried to do any kind of boating at all against the current without a motor? Whether it's kayaking or canoeing or even swimming, right? If you go with the current, so much easier. When you go against the current, first of all, you're going to work twice as hard. You may not get where you're going, or you may actually get carried off in a direction you didn't mean to go. maybe worst case scenario, your canoe flips and you end up getting hurt or people around you get hurt. Many of you in your marriages, you go against God's current. And the analogy of the current is God's will for your life, God's rhythm in your life. God has a rhythm. God has a way that things work and things don't work. And he lays it out very clearly for us in the Word what his rhythm is. And many of you try to go against that, and you try to do everything that you can to get away from that rhythm. And when you do, it causes yourself harm, it causes your partner harm, it causes whatever kids or family you have in that canoe harm. And for some of you, you know the truth of this, that it's flipped your canoe, and it may have even separated you from your family. And that's just the truth of the way that it works, right? When we go with God's current, things are better for us, and we can glorify him more easily. So how in the world do we know what's the current? How do we know God? How do we know the face of God? Well, real easy. John 14:6 says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. That's what Jesus said, right? And then he finishes it out and he says, if you want to know the Father, do what? Well, know me. If you know me, you know the Father. So if we know who Jesus is, we know his character, we know his heart, guess what? We know God and we have a great clue into God's will. So know Jesus is the first thing. The second thing we need to do is read God's word. That's where he establishes the current. So I hope in your family, when you're plotting out for your family, what should my family look like? What should my marriage look like? That you've consulted God's word about what that should be. Because he's very specific about some of the currents that should happen in our marriage. So one of the things I'm really excited to do for you today is to be a little bit of a kick in the face. Because many of you are getting lined up for a fall that is just going to be grueling. It's going to be so grueling and painful. You've got your kids lined up in about 12 different things, and you've got yourself lined up for about 12 different things. And the truth of the matter is all of those things aren't necessarily lined up with God's patterns. Did you know in Romans 12:1-2, it talks about the patterns of this world? This world has patterns. It has currents. It has ways that it wants to take you. And if we don't plan, we will fall into those patterns. God's word says, don't conform to the patterns of this world. The pattern of this world, I very much believe for our generation, is distraction and busyness. Get you so distracted and busy that you miss the point. Man, that you get so sidetracked going in a different direction that you completely miss your destination. You might even go right past it and not even know you did. So many of you have got your kids signed up for some volleyball league where you're going to be committed every single weekend all fall long. Or that fall ball, oh, what a wonderful thing it is. Your kid's not going to be a professional baseball player. Please let me tell you, I'll be the first one. One of you statistically, I'm not taking much of a gamble on this, okay? I know the stats on that. Your kid is not going to be a professional baseball player. Get over it. Did you know that for most of your children, they will get out of high school baseball if they make it to that point, if they don't burn out on the sport and begin to resent you, that they will get out of high school and maybe play softball. It'll be a big ball, easy to hit. Okay? You can do that without a lot of training. So they will get out and they won't do a whole lot of baseball after that. You'll also have an athlete here and there that may have a chance. And guess what will happen? Man, they'll tear the wrong muscle. They'll have the wrong injury. And all that is over with. And even for someone who does make it, that is about a 30, 35, maybe 40. Maybe you go Brett Favre and do some football in your 40s. You know, that's not even half your life. That's half your life, maybe. What about the other half? So for many of you, you've got this lineup of fall things. I'm going to do a huge plug for our youth and children's here at the Heights Fellowship. You have a unique opportunity to put your child in a youth group where they are cared for. Brandon and his interns and Joy and the people around him, they want to take and disciple your child and prepare them for life. Life after volleyball and life during volleyball. They want to prepare them for not just life when they score a home run, but life when things don't go well for them. And they want to prepare them for a type of life that never ends. They want to prepare them so that they'll know what to do when they get to heaven. They'll know who's there. And they'll have a very close relationship with this person they see when they get to heaven. A T-ball coach is not in it for that same reason. So when you're thinking about your priorities this fall, my family, when we lined out priorities, we were talking about for my daughter, there's some things that she wants to do. The top one for us is to be part of youth group in fall. That is it. And really the other things, if we have to cut one of those, it will be cut. Because this is her training ground for her to become the godly woman that she needs to become. So our children's ministries are available to you, our youth ministries. I'm just going to tell you, they're not going to be a professional baseball player. but they need to grow in a wisdom of God their whole life. This is an opportunity to do that. So I hope that you'll do that. For many of you, there may be career decisions that you make. Right now, you've got the family in the canoe. Guess what? They're going to jump out and get in their own canoe eventually. You need to be preparing them. If your career is so busy that you can't even prepare your kids to navigate their own canoe one day, you may want to think about, how can I tweak that so that I can be with my kids more often, so I can actually be in that canoe with them? So establish godly priorities and some kingdom principles in your home. Talk about God. Let them know what that current looks like so they'll know how to run their own marriage and family one of these days. You know, the canoe also has some other interesting rules. You may not have known, but the canoe has lots of actually really important rules. And we look up here at the front of the canoe. What's this called? What do they call it on a ship? The bow. Same on a canoe. We got the bow, and we have in the back, what's that? We have the stern in the back. Now, my wife and I learned this the hard way. The people in the bow and the stern do very different things, actually. Yes, they're both paddling. That is a key to remember. They are both paddling. But the person in the bow has a little different responsibilities than the person in the stern. So I'm just going to read from a basic canoeing handbook. This dude's an expert canoeist. And this is what he said about what you're supposed to do in the bow and the stern. Paddling with two people is very much a team effort. Usually the bow or the front and the back, the stern, canoeists paddle on opposite sides. The bow canoeist is responsible for the power strokes that keep the canoe moving. The stern canoeist adds to the power, but is also responsible for setting the direction of the canoe and fine adjustments to the canoe's balance. If both parties keep a regular stroke pace and change sides at consistent intervals, all will usually go well. However, if the bow canoeist tries to take control by steering the canoe using his or her paddle or changing sides frequently, problems will occur and the canoe could veer off course. To avoid these problems, let the stern canoeist control the canoe direction. The bow canoeist determines the frequency of changing sides and is on the watch for underwater rocks and logs. Let's do a little quiz here. What are the primary roles of the bow canoeist up at the front? Primary roles. Paddle, paddle, paddle. What else? One more at the very end. Watch out for what's going on here, right? So this is the person in the bow. They're going to paddle, 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 and watch out. They're going to have a vision for what's going on around them, right? Be able to see obstacles ahead, rocks, logs, things like that. Primary roles of the person in the back are what? Number one, steering, and also to paddle. Now, I want us to look at Ephesians 5, and I want us to read that beginning in verse 21. This is really the only text we're going to come out of today, so you can open your Bibles. Please open your Bibles, or open your app, or whatever you have there. This is one that if you're a married person, or you are thinking about getting married, you one day want to be married, or remarried, or whatever, you need to have this highlighted, and you need to understand the truth from Ephesians 5:21. Now, in your Bible, you're going to say, well, doesn't it start in 5:22? Because there's a heading that says wives and husbands. I always teach, when I teach on this passage, that it actually begins in 5:21. It actually began a little earlier. Because in Ephesians, Paul is writing a letter, and this letter was circulated among lots of churches. It's a pretty cool deal that it's actually circulating to us here today. And he wrote it as a continuous letter. We went in later and put in the headings and the numbers and all that, right? And so somewhere along the line, in my Bible, they divided 21 and 22, and it's a terrible, terrible injustice to the Scripture. 21 starts like this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So who submits in a marital relationship? Both. It's a phrase called mutual submission, okay? Mutual submission. We both paddle, all right? So if you've come from other backgrounds, you may have heard that the wife is the only one that submits, and she basically does what her husband says. True. The word is going to say the wife submits. Who else does it tell to submit? The husband. The husband has an additional role that we'll look at here in a minute. So submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Who's steering the canoe? Husband. Now many of you don't agree with this sociologically. Your problem is not with me, it is with God. So you and the God of the universe can have a discussion about that. The God of the universe said the current is that the husband needs to steer the canoe. Now, husbands, I need you to understand the way that you steer the canoe is to fill in the blank here.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become flesh. That profound mystery that Paul talks about.
So let's talk about a few ways that, a few things I think the word submit means. First of all, I look at the word submit meaning a few things. Number one, you serve your spouse. So we have an obligation to serve each other, correct? We also have an obligation to support each other. So support each other, that's emotionally. That's physically. We also have an obligation within a marriage to serve, support. And the other part of submit that I believe is a really important part is for us to work in the home, for us to paddle. So here's the deal. Many people used to teach that the woman could yell order, that the husband could yell orders from the back of the canoe and his wife do whatever, and he was upheld by God's word to do that, even if he didn't paddle. This very much, even in canoeing terms, if somebody doesn't paddle, you're not going to get down the river very quickly, right? So we're both working in the home. We're both serving. The husband should be involved in home life to a certain degree. Now, very much in many of your homes, the woman is the main paddler. And that becomes difficult. And sometimes you're the main paddler, you want to be the one to start yelling directions, right? You're like, hey, fool. Hey, what are we going? Right, you're ready to yell directions. Some of you very well may need to have some conversations about the direction your canoe is going. Next week, we're going to talk about how to rock the boat. How to basically communicate within a canoe without flipping it. Right? Because many of you, you know, hey, I need to fix this in my marriage. However, every time you do it, you'd flip your canoe. You say something too abrasive, or you say it in a way that, I mean, it just capsizes the whole thing. And so next week, if you'll come, we're going to talk about basically how to fight and how to argue in a marriage. And I say that because I do believe that a healthy marriage does, at times, fight in a healthy way and argue and have some constructive go back and forth. So many of you are like, what do I do to my husband if he will not paddle, or if he just keeps yelling orders, or if he refuses to steer, if he won't be the spiritual leader of the home? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't nag him. We'll talk about all those things next week, so please come on and check that out with us. But I hope you understand there are some very specific roles. So men, how do you steer your family? Well, I think you're the one that's helped setting up those kingdom priorities. You're the one that's making sure that you've got those kingdom priorities laid out. Now, the woman's opinion, not only does it matter, but it's vital. In my marriage, there are so many times that my wife has saved me pain by telling me, hey, maybe before you do that, you might ought to think about. And then there are many times that I have self-inflicted pain because my wife said, hey, before you do that, you might ought to think about. And I went ahead and did it anyway. And so it came back and bit me, and I've got a lovely wife who doesn't say, I told you so. She just kind of looks and nods, just smiles, just keep paddling, right? And so real sweet. I call it gloating. But anyway, and so she still allows me to make some mistakes here and there, even though they may not be the thing, understanding that it's my job to steer the canoe. So we'll talk about how to communicate a little bit better in the canoe next week. Now, the last thing I kind of wanted to end up on is this idea that of one word I think you missed. So you had like, I think I had like 78 total comments. You missed a word. And that word's a really important one. That's the married life is urgent. So my wife and I realized this, I guess it was about a month ago. You flip the next slide for me. That we had a good friend of ours, Kirstie Watkins, who passed away. And if you were a police officer, you might know her husband's a police officer in town, Mark, and really, really dear woman who was on our on two different worship teams with me. She grew up with my wife, and we went to her funeral about a month ago, and we were reminded that you don't get your marriage forever. You're not guaranteed tomorrow with your spouse. You're not guaranteed tomorrow with your family. It is urgent. Your married life is urgent. For her, a couple of really cool things about her. My wife told me this. In fact, my wife and I were walking a few days after the funeral, and my wife looked at me, and it was a really cool thing as a husband. My wife said, "Man, you've got a lot of hobbies, and we don't do a whole lot together anymore. I'm trying to think about one of your hobbies that I can do with you." And some men will be like, I don't know if you want to do my, I don't want you to do my hobbies, right? And so, but I, what that meant for my wife is I want to know you better. I want to still pursue you. I want to have a relationship with you, because what she'd done is at this funeral, they talked about all the things that Kirstie did with Mark. Mark was a hunter. Kirstie became this just great hunter, had a bow and everything. Some of your husbands are like, yeah, Jim, preach it. And she bought him, he loved the Houston Texans, so she bought season tickets to the Houston Texans game. And they went to football games, and they did those things. I'm not saying that's the wife's role only. The husband's role is also to come up and support his wife as well and to try to find some commonalities. So one way your marriage can have a little more life is to have some commonalities. She was a big cheerleader for her family and her husband, and he was the same for her. I also wanted to show my friend Michael. Michael is a really gifted dude. He and I grew up together, 21 days apart in the same church nursery, same school, graduated together. We learned to play guitars together. Michael, about a month and a half ago, was diagnosed with stage 5 terminal cancer, lung cancer. He's a non-smoker. Michael's an artist. If you go to Lubbock Lake Landmark and see the woolly mammoth, he worked on that, and he worked on the bulls at the Ranching Heritage Center. Done a lot of stuff here. Michael is out of the Air Force. He's still teaching in the Air Force, but when he was diagnosed with stage 5 cancer, his life group gave him a memory box, and in that memory box were just all these activities that he and his 3 daughters and his wife could go do, some of those just for him and his wife, and some of those for his family to go do. And so right now, he is in a process of trying to make it through that memory box, going through all these things where they can form some memories and have some memories for his daughters to remember and have some things. Now, my ultimate prayer is that he would be healed. And so that's what we're praying for, and I believe that God will do that. I also know that God heals in different ways and that God has a different plan sometimes. And so I'll trust him in that as well, and Michael trusts him in that. What Michael is trying to do is live every moment right now like it is his last. You want to talk about someone who understands that his married life is urgent right now? So I wonder in your marriage if you've thought about it being urgent. Are there some things that you know need to be happening in your marriage? You just know it. You know God's not messing around with you anymore. He's come today and said, you have some very specific things I need you to look at in your marriage. Your heart needs to change in some ways. You might need to say you're sorry. You might need to do some things to help that, because you may not have next week. Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that because that's the truth. That the truth of the matter is your married life is urgent. And for many of you, man, there are people in that canoe with you. There are kids in there with you. And your married life is urgent to them. And I promise you that you need to take care of that marriage so you can take care of who's in that canoe. Some people get so wrapped up on who's in the canoe. Well, who are the important people in that canoe? Paddlers. You get too wrapped up in the little people in the canoe, you're going to flip your canoe. You make sure that the paddlers are healthy. So one thing I'm telling you to do, if you as a married couple, if you thought about taking a trip together, you said to yourselves, man, we need to go on a trip. We need to go out and do some things. I'm coming to you today and I'm saying, go on the trip. Go for it. You may not have next summer to do it. You may not have in 2 years. Now, I love Dave Ramsey. He says your best life, live your best life now so you can live your best life later, something like that. Love Dave Ramsey. We use a lot of his principles. Dave Ramsey has one fault in his teaching. You may not live for 20 years to get to enjoy a lot of those things. So yes, we use envelope system and we save our money and we avoid debt and we avoid credit cards and all those things. But I guarantee I'm also going to take time to live on some of those things, especially if it's involving taking care of my marriage and my family.